Girls get excited about baptisms. I'm going to get excited again next week. As I say, AD's going to get baptized as well. So that's cracking. I just think it's brilliant. And I think we should have a baptism every single week. I don't know why we don't have more, but there you go. That's me and my grumble over. Right, Naaman, 2 Kings, chapter 5. The eagle-eyed or eagle-eared of you will know I've spoken about Naaman before. And, as I was praying for Tatiana, I just felt that the Lord draw me to Naaman and his issues, really. So let's read from verse 1. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord gave victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out into the to take captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naam's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothes. The letter he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel had read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him a message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went to his went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent message to him, "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would have surely come out and seen me and stand and call on the name of his God, wave his hands over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned away and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have done it? How much more then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his audience went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "I know that there is no God in all the world except Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimon and bows down, and is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow down there also. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Go in peace, Elisha said. May God bless his word to us this morning. Back in the days of black and white TV, back in 1959, that was a really good year, 1959. Tatiana, you missed out on that one. Procter and Gamble, some of you older saints might remember Procter and Gamble. They launched a revolutionary new soap called Zest. Within weeks, this top-selling brand became something it just exploded. There was something about the advertising slogan used to promote caught the attention of the public. And the advertising slogan said, "For the first time in your life, feel really clean." For the first time in your life, feel really clean. Goodness knows what they were washing with before, because if they weren't really clean, then... So from our Bible reading this morning, Naaman has found the gospel which is the good news from God. And that strikes the same sort of deep chord with us. The moment we take the plunge into God's remedy of sin, we experience the truth of an attractive slogan. For the first time in your life, feel really clean. Naaman's story, probably the most familiar in the life and times of Elisha the prophet. It contains everything that we need or like in a good story. The story begins with a build-up of the wonderful picture of characters that are taking part. Then there's a note of tragedy, followed by a ray of hope. And then finally, life lived happily ever after. A story structure of many fables, many fairy tales, and many blockbuster movies. First, we have the graphic word picture, if you like, of Naaman himself. Now, Naaman was a commander. So when you hear that, commander, you just feel that, you know, he is a guy that needs to be taken notice of. He's a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master, and he was highly regarded. Because through him, the Lord gave victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier. The man who had levered his way to the top, if you like, by the forces of his personality and the weight of his talents, also thought he had leverage with God. Through these verses, we see the Naaman's theory, his ideas, and his mistaken concepts. So like any good Baptist minister, I have 3 points, all beginning with the letter P, so you'll be pleased about that. They're not very long points, you'll be even more pleased about that. And the first one where Naaman went wrong was he paid the wrong price. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Now, Naaman loaded a pretty impressive treasure trove onto his caravan. So why did he do this? He did it because he thought he could pay for his salvation. But you see, the gospel is a funny thing, really, because you don't have to pay for anything. The gospel is totally countercultural. Where our minds think we should be doing things, the gospel comes in and says it differently. It spins everything on its head. The gospel reduces millionaires to the same level as the pauper on the street. That's how strong the gospel is. Skin deep, a man may be very wealthy and very important, like Naaman, but deep down, He's just as impoverished as the rest of us, in need of the same God-given hope, help that comes to us all, free of charge. It's free of charge. How good is that? God will treat the Prince of Wales exactly the same way as he treats his chauffeur. Prince of Wales' chauffeur, not God's. God cannot be bought. Salvation is a free gift from God. And it was purchased with the most precious of substances in the universe. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The most precious substance in the universe. It is without money and without price. And if you're thinking of saving up for the sake of a ticket in to go to heaven, then I suggest that you spend everything that you have right now, because there is no such ticket. You can't buy a ticket to heaven. It's not going to happen. You can't buy your way into heaven, because the ultimate price has already been paid. But Naaman was willing to pay the wrong price. The second P is the wrong person. Verses 6 and 7. The letter that Naaman took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." Verse 7. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." Notice then that Naaman goes first to be healed. He went to the king of Israel. He first went to the king of Israel. Well, Naaman, that's the wrong place to go. No prizes there. Naaman was knocking on the wrong door, and perhaps that provides a bit of a challenging picture for us, for many people today. Perhaps there's many people that you know that have been knocking on the wrong door of salvation. The Bible says that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. So here's a question. On which door are you knocking on? On which door are you knocking on? There's one door where you can find cleansing from the leprosy of sin. And that door is the Lord. That's the door Tatiana has been knocking on, and the door has been opened. Jesus said, "I am the door by which you can be saved." Naaman went to the wrong person. But Naaman had another mistaken concept that's sort of revolved around the wrong procedure. So here you are, picture another scene. Proud Naaman, he's a commander of an army. He's standing at Elisha's doorway with all his entourage looking on. And just imagine it, can't you? And the music playing in the background, building all the tension up in a big blockbuster. And he reads a crumpled up note given to him by Elisha's servant. You just imagine it, can't you? Just sort of pushing out all the creases on this letter and just trying to read this letter. And then, if it wasn't bad enough for a Syrian to come to a Jewish land, he was expected to do one of these silly rituals, as he thought, by dipping himself in the muddy Jordan, not once, but seven times. Seven times. No wonder Naaman thought, well, no wonder Naaman says, I thought God would treat me differently. One of the world's big shots had come to Elisha, and Elisha's assignment, if you like, from God, was to cut Naaman down to size. I think he did it very effectively. Elisha could see the general in Naaman. He could see his inflated sense of self-importance. He could see his pride. Well, you can understand it, can't you? You hold a very important position and you have everybody looking at you. So you've got to look the part. So Elisha sent word via a messenger. Naaman, go and take a very public, very prolonged and very embarrassing dip in the silted waters of the Jordan. It is so simple. You go in dirty and you come out clean. God bless you, Naaman. Have a nice day. Next. That's probably my spin on what the note said, but you can see where Elisha's coming from. Naaman had a problem of disease that only God's remedy, could deal with. It was only God that's going to sort Naaman's issue out. I thought is what Naaman responded with. I thought the Lord would take my upbringing into account. I thought my position would be taken into account. I thought that if I helped others live a good life, that was all I needed to do. I thought God, a God of love, would not send souls to eternity separated from Him. How many times have we thought, I thought God would? Guilty of that one. The question is then, are you writing your own prescription for God's cure and Christ is not part of it? See, there's plenty of other ways that you can, plenty of other different rivers that you can dip in. There's plenty of other religious options and procedures and sort of spiritual experiences that you can be tried and tested. God says to Naaman, and metaphorically, he says to us today, listen, just listen to this. It's the Jordan or nothing. So you better take a dip, Naaman. You better take a dip. And God says to us, listen up, guys. Just listen up. It's Jesus or nothing. So you better take a trip to the cross. You better take a trip to the cross and kneel down and ask for forgiveness. There is no other way to get into salvation. That is the only way. Salvation can only come by complying with what God actually says and not what we'd like to think we would like him to say. We have to obey God's word. So, what did Naaman do? Well, we'll look at verse 14. So he went down and dipped himself into the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean, that like that of a young boy. Wow. You can just imagine the look on Naaman's face when that happened. He was cleansed outwardly. But also just look at the rest of the verses. He wasn't only cleansed outwardly, but he was transformed inwardly as well. He was enlightened in his mind. Naaman's I thought in verse 11 has given way to I know in verse 15. Naaman had just made the most amazing discovery. It's a supreme discovery for any soul to find out. He had found a relationship with a true and living God. I know. I know him, Naaman said. So are you able to say that? Are you able to say that along with Job? When Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Can you say the same as Paul? I know whom I believe. Can you say the same as Naaman? I just don't think about God. Now I know him. And can you say the same as Tatiana? My God is real. God loves Tatiana so much that he gave her a dream to be baptized. And he doesn't love Tatiana any more differently than he loves the rest of us. He loves us all the same. Naaman was then humbled in spirit. What a contrast between Naaman's first appearance to Elisha's door and then the second visit he made. He's no longer a proud and overbearing, self-confident captain of the host of Syria. You see how he describes himself in verse 15. The captain of Syria, the master of his known universe, declares himself to be God's servant. God's servant. Do you claim to be cleansed of spiritual leprosy? Do you claim to have to be a new creature, a new creation in Christ? Tatiana can say that this morning. The story of Naaman compels me to ask, are you walking in the steps of your master, who himself is meek and lowly in heart? Or are you trying to wear the captain's badge, thinking, do you know what, I don't need that at the moment, you know, I can just do my own thing for a little while? Or maybe you have fully and truly given your life in surrender to Christ, as we've witnessed again with Tatiana this morning. Naaman was also thankful in heart. He wishes to express his heartfelt gratitude to God with more than just words. So he says, please accept this gift from your servants. John Wesley used to ask of new converts, has his wallet been converted yet? Very interesting phrase. You can't pay the Lord anything. You can't pay him anything. You can't give him anything. But we can repay him in some way by laying down all that we have for his disposal. Naaman had a renewed will. Obedience is the sure mark of a changing life. Christ himself said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The Zest soap advertising slogan said, for the first time in your life, feel really clean. Now that's how Naaman felt when he went back to Syria. Really clean on the outside and on the inside. Would you like to feel that clean going home this morning? Would you, for the first time, like to feel really clean? Excuse me. Would you like to feel really clean? And not just on the outside, but inside too? Then if you want to do that this morning, swallow your pride. Take a knee and ask Jesus into your life. That is the place of cleansing. Don't delay. If you think you know and love the Lord Jesus, then you really need to take a knee. Because you need to know, like Naaman, I know the true and living God. Tatiana today has gone through the waters of baptism as a public witness to her private commitment to her Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Man, what a witness. That's a tremendous witness. It's a brave witness. Tatiana's new life has started now. And that new life is a gift from God. Not because, again, she's anything special, but I think she's really special to Mum and Dad. But because she was obedient to the call of God on her life. She was obedient to the call of God on her life. That's what makes her special. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again, Lord, for Naaman. We thank you, Lord, for his life. We thank you, Lord, that it was recorded in the way that it was recorded. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that cleanses of our sin. For all of us here, Lord, today, who think we know you, help us, Lord, to be bold. Help us, Lord, to be strong. But allow us to put our pride away to one side and kneel down and say, I want to know you. I want to say, Lord, I want to know you. You are a kind, loving, gracious God. Merciful. Slow to anger and swift to love. And Father God, we just praise you and thank you for that characteristic you have. Be with us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last song.